Until September 14th.
Oh yeah, who's here?
14th of Elul.
Yeah.
This is our second session of the morning to go over what we learned in Chavruta on Masechet Brachot, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hey. I want to begin at an unexpected place. The Mishnah, there's no need to read over. Everyone's read it in Chavruta. We're going to begin with the Tosfot Anshei Shem. And this is a photostat from the page of the traditional printing of the Mishnah together with its commentaries, not the Talmud, not the Gemara, just the Mishnah, with those commentaries that are just on the Mishnah, the first page of this handout, or the first page of it. And as you remember from last time, my joke, I blew this up like 300%. The page is usually much smaller. You can actually see it now. On the right-hand side, in the long column, is the Tosfot Anshei Shem. Tosfot Anshei Shem. And we're going to read the first comment there, which you can see is in my brackets. I mean, the first comment in my brackets, and it has a hey, indicating this is Mishnah Hey. And the first word of the comment in bold is mitzdarfim, which of course is the dibur matchil. That's the quote from the Mishnah that he's going to explain. What does the Mishnah mean when it says that mitzdarfim lezimun? Mitzdarfim lezimun. They come together for zimun. Says the Tosfot Anshei Shem, the first word is peyud with a little apostrophe there, so it's an abbreviation, and it's Perush. Perush. Right? So what's the Perush? He says, if you want to vocalize it, I'm sorry, punctuate it with Perush, colon, I bao mitzdarfim. I bao, I in Aramaic is the Hebrew word im, if. Bao is want. We've had a number of times in the Talmud last year and the year before. It could be need, want, or ask. A ba'aya is a question in Aramaic. Ba'u is they questioned or they need or they want. In this case, it's I ba'u, if they want, mitzdarfim. They can come together. So he just said something very important in those three words. He's answering one of the questions on our sheet, which is this chova or is this reshut? Is it an obligation or is it a permission? And that's a very important question. When it says mitzdarfim, do you have to do it or is it you're allowed to do it? And the first question we should ask ourselves on encountering this issue is, well, what about the language of the Mishnah? The Mishnah says mitzdarfim. Is that form, which is what we call a present participle, in Hebrew a benoni poel, a present participle, which most people who don't know grammar call it a present tense, but it's really called the present participle. There's really no such thing as a present tense in Hebrew. It's simply a noun being used as a verb, but we don't have to get into that. Call it a present tense if you want. Mitzdarfim. Would the language indicate that it's a command, a chova, or would the language indicate that it's reshut? So what we should do, of course, is learn from context, learn from other places in which the same form is used in the Mishnah. And we've seen already 8 different places, approximately, in the first 7 chapters of Masechet Brachot, which is the use of this benoni poel, this present participle, this present tense. And I just want to read them to you. Some of you should remember some of them. remember going back to chapter 1, we learned that Bishachar Mivarech Shtaim Lefanea V'chat Achareya. Bishachar, in the morning, right? Mivarech, you bless. Shtaim Lefanea, 2 before her. Who is her? Shema, right? Kriyat Shema, which is feminine. In the Shachar, you Mivarech Shtaim Lefanea, 2 before her. And one after her. There's one bracha after Shema, there's 2 before her. So I ask you, in that particular Mishnah, Bishachar Mivarech, is that reshut or is it chova?
Chova.
It's obviously chova. It's not giving you permission to say brachot before Shema. It's an obligation. Okay? That's clear. Another case is Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim Kuleilot. That's the last Mishnah of the first chapter. Mazkirin Yitziat Mitzrayim.
Mention Yitziat Mitzrayim.
Beleilot. Not just in the morning, but at nighttime. Is that a chova or a shoot?
It's a chova.
It's a chova. It's a chova. Absolutely. Whether it's telling us that we have to say the third paragraph of Shema, which has Yitziat Mitzrayim in it, or it's telling us you have to say something else at night, whatever it is, you have to do it. Okay, another example is Al hamazon mivarech, etc. Al hamazon mivarech. Are there any brachot al hamazon that are reshut? No. It's a chova. So here, al hamazon mivarech, that's the use of the present participle in the singular, whereas until now we're talking the past, the plural, like mazkirim mivarechim. No, I'm wrong. When I said, I'm sorry, b'shachar mivarech, that was the singular. When we said mazkirin, Yitzet Mitzrayim, that's the plural. When we go back, ne alamazon mivarech, that's the singular. Doesn't matter, singular and plural, in all the examples we just gave, the present participle is always a chova. Another example is, we all remember this one, b'chol yom mitpalel adam shmona asrei. B'chol yom mitpalel, it's a present participle. B'chol yom mitpalel adam shmona asrei.
That's a chovah.
That's a chovah.
Yeah.
Of course it's a chovah.
Shmona asrei, yeah.
You have to say the shmona asrei, b'chol yom. Or what about in the fifth chapter, mazkirin v'rat shamim. Mazkirin gvurot shamim. We mention the power of the rains in the second bracha of the Shmona Asrei. It's a chovah, right? We just learned in the last chapter, in chapter 6, Mivarech achareihen gimel brachot. After you eat of the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, Mivarech achareihen gimel brachot. It's a chovah, right? So in many, many, many cases, it's been a chovah, the present participle, whether in the singular or in the plural. However, we also learned, and I mentioned this one last week, this was in the second chapter, Biprakim Shoel Mipanei HaKavod, which we said meant between the chapters, Biprakim, with between the chapters of Kriyat Shema, Shoel Mipanei HaKavod, or Mipnei Yirah, there are different opinions, right? When your friend walks in and you're saying Shema, the Mishnah says that if you're in the middle of chapters, the first chapter and the second and the third of Kriyat Shema, that you shoel your friend Mashlamcha. Is that a chova? I've never seen anyone do that here in Shari Tefillah, and if anyone did it, Rabbi would probably get pretty upset. But the Mishnah says that's what you do. It wouldn't seem there to be a chova, it would seem to be a reshut, would seem to be. Right? And there's one other example that might be reshut. We learned that the omanim korin barosh ha'ilan. Remember that? Ha'omanim, what's that word mean? The workers, korin, they read, what do they read?
Shema,
right? It's not a novel. Korin barosh ha'ilan, while they're picking fruit.
Yeah.
Is that a chovah? Well, it could be a chovah. We had a long discussion when we learned this. It might be a chovah because you're not allowed to steal the time of the person who's employing you by going down the tree to say Kriyat Shema. But it also might not be a chovah. It might be that you're allowed to do it. You don't have to do it. You are allowed to come down and say Shema. It's not clear there. So it might be a chovah, might be reshut. We also had one more case that might be chovah, might be reshut. We had a mahalek b'makom sakana. Someone is walking in a dangerous place, says a shortened form of the Shmona Asrei. Again, was that a chovah? That you're not allowed to risk your life by saying the Shmona Asrei, you have to hurry it up? Or is it just a reshut that if you feel that you're too afraid to say the Shmona Asrei because, and you can't have kavanah, you're allowed to say a shorter one?
This is a reshut.
That might be a reshut, it might be a chovah, it might be a chovah of pikuach nefesh. Not clear exactly. But certainly in the case of shoel mipanei kavod, the prakim shoel, that would seem to be only reshut. It seemed to be. But nevertheless, most of the cases are chovah. Most of the cases of the roots of the Beinoni Poel, the present participle in our Masechet, are chovah. Some might be reshut, at least one is. So, we go back to our Mishnah, and we saw that the Tosfot Anshei Shem claims that our matter of Mitztarfim is only reshut, he says. Now, that's possible. It's possible. But remember that, again, most cases, the Beinoni Poel is a chovah. So we have to look deeply into what he says. Okay? It's possible, but it's not probable. So let's read further with what he said. He had said that, I'm back in the Tosfot Anshei Shem, Ein Mivrachin, I'm sorry, I read the wrong place, Mitztarfim, Perush, I bau mitztarfim, he had said. If they want, they could be mitztarfim. And then he gives a reason for his understanding. Dikhevan she, De kivan she means that since. The expression kivan she means since. And a dal before it, of course, means that. Or since. De kivan she, that since shelo achlu al shulchan achad, since they didn't eat al shulchan achad, right, they didn't eat on one table, v'mapa achat, and one mapa, one tablecloth, because of course one tablecloth can bring together three different tables and it could look like one. Of course the aleph there is an abbreviation for achat. So since they didn't eat on one table and one tablecloth, vadai, for certain de'ein chayavim litzteref, for certain they're not obligated litzteref, for certain. It can only be a reshut. It can't be a chovai, claims, because they didn't eat al shulchan achat.
Do you need to have both the one table and one tablecloth?
No, I think the tablecloth is just to, could be to bring two tables to make them one.
Because he's sort of adding a new element.
It's in the Gemara. We didn't see it in the Mishnah. You're right. Right. But that's not our issue. There's another issue here. And he proves it. He says, k'demuchach, as is proven, Miresha, from the Resha, from the Rosh, right from the beginning of the chapter, and he quotes, Shloshashach Lukehad, three that eight is one. So the only obligation, he says, of making tziruf, of coming together, is if the eight is one. But if they ate separately, it's just they saw each other, then of course there's no tziruf as far as Chobah goes, it can only be Reshut, he claims. Okay. Does anyone see a place that it's possible to argue with the Tosfot on Sheshem? Truth is, I'm more interested in what he didn't say than what he said.
We were talking about maybe there's a case where there's 6 and 4, and there would be an advantage to getting to 10.
I understand. We'll go into that. But I'm talking about his proof. Not the question, is it Rishud, is it Chovah, but his proof that it's one of those two. What about the proof? Is there any way to poke a hole in that proof?
I wouldn't agree with that choice of us, because it says, Babayit Echot. Mm-hmm. My Mishnah says clearly, if to eat in one house, mm-hmm. it does not necessarily have to be by one table.
Ah, right. So I would add to that.
By a sechot is easier than one table. You know, they are more strict. They're very strict. You have to eat by one table, and the Mishnah means only one room. And one room is enough to mitzvah them together.
Mm-hmm.
Together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We learned if someone had incurred an obligation to Zimun, they can go join a different group.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they
the same
don't.
Table.
They have an obligation.
There was an obligation there, right? There was in the Gemara.
And it can be fulfilled away from their original table.
Mm-hmm.
They can get away from the table to another table. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear if they are permitted to leave their table, but if they have left their table.
That's what I think the same, yeah.
They can build.
And so that implies, to me, it is a little bit contrary to what he's saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But under one roof, same house?
It didn't say that. It may have meant that, I don't know.
In the same house.
It didn't say if you can see him. It didn't say.
The Mishnah means not the same table. Means
the
same
point
house.
It was a different
right.
Table.
It's clearly b'vayit echot.
Yeah.
The same room same house.
Good question. House is house. Apparently, doesn't matter if it's a separate room or not. As long as it's the same house, that's what it says. It doesn't mention room.
See him.
They can see him even if it's different rooms. That's what it would seem. So let's examine this conceptually and structurally. The Mishnah began, this chapter began, with, as he quotes, Shlosha Shachlu Ke'echad, three ate as one. Then comes our Mishnah at the end that says they ate in different chaburot. If they see each other, then mitztarfim. Claims the Tosfot on Sheshem that the tziruf in our Mishnah is on a lower level than what it says at the beginning of the chapter, Shlosha Shachlu Ke'echad. He says our guys didn't eat Ke'echad. Therefore, it's not that they're chayvim lezamen together. Rather, it's reshut. But you can understand it differently. You can understand that our Mishnah is coming to define what it means, shlosha shachlu ke'echad. What does it mean to eat together? Well, it could be shulchan echad. It could be many shulchanot that are connected by a mapa. Or it could be that there were separate chaburot, but if they're ru'im elu et elu, they see each other, then that defines ke'echad, together. So certainly what he says is possible, but it's not at all necessary. And if we do say that our Mishnah is against the Tosfot on Shishem, it's coming to define what it means for shashaklu ke'echad, then once we say that ru'im elu et elu is under the rubric of achlu ke'echad, eight is one, then the question of reshut hachava is not to be answered in the context of this Mishnah exclusively. It's to be answered in the context of that Mishnah that says shloshach shachlu ke'echad, chayvim l'zamen. There it says chayvim.
But here they're distinctly talking about chavurot, groups, not individuals. So,
so
to say that that's the definition of shloshach shachlu ke'echad doesn't really seem to make sense. It's different languages talking about not individuals, presumably, but different groups.
Okay, but still, if I'm trying to figure out what does it mean, achlu ke'echad, and again, it's not just shlosha, right? It's a it's what does it mean, ke'echad? What does it mean to eat ke'echad? And can it be that shtei chaburot, or shalosh chaburot, or chamesh chaburot, that ate separately, but ro'im elu et elu, that's going to be my definition, perhaps, the Mishnah's definition of what does it mean, ke'echad.
That's what the Mishnah says.
I'm not saying this is necessary, I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah, it just seems
saying it's impossible.
No, it just seems less likely because the language is so different. You know, no longer talking about individuals, but very specifically talking about groups of people.
I would say that the Mishnah is phrased like that, perhaps, because that's the reality. That sometimes you have a room like this, right? Or, like, you have a room like this, and you have different tables at a banquet, right?
Uh-huh.
And what does it mean? Achlu ke'echad.
But you could also have a cafeteria with three individuals sitting down at different... I don't know what they had back then, but sitting down in different tables.
When you say ru'im elu et elu.
Yeah.
Right, my interpretation would force everyone in the cafeteria, would force them as chovah to get together.
Right.
Whereas the Tosfot on Sheshem would say they have that option, but not... Right, so again, I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm saying it's possible to look at it differently. Okay, so now we can go on. So we're in the Mishnah, and the first question that I had asked was one is about the katamazon, about siruf, and the other is about the wine. That's pretty clear. And then I asked the question, what preposition is assumed between the shin and the word miktsatan? That also is pretty straightforward.
If.
If. Let's go back to the Mishnah. David says if. And the Mishnah says, shtei chavurot shayu ochlot bevayit echad. Bizman that if miktsatan ru'in elu et elu, I wouldn't agree with you because that's the meaning of the word zman.
Okay.
Right. At a time,
which means if, right, yeah, okay.
I'm thinking of another preposition. Well, let me ask you, what happens if all of the people in this chabura see all the people in this chabura? Is there tziruf then? Does it have to be specifically that miktsatan see, or could it be that all see?
So you're saying at least.
At least. It's at least, right? There's certainly, it doesn't make any sense that if we all see each other, there's no tziruf. There's only tziruf if some of us see each other. So obviously, the preposition here is if, is at least. If at least some see some, but all the more so, if all see all, then there's tziruf. Whether tziruf is chovah reshut, it's going to be a preposition of lifachot. Right? Lifachot, at least. And the next question was, reading only up to the words mitztarfim lezimun. In other words, we don't know yet the rest of the Mishnah, let's say. We just have up to the words mitztarfim lezimun. For what purpose do you think that there would be such a thing as mitztarfim? And I'm adding to that question four, again reading up only to the words mitztarfim lezimun, does it matter how many people there were in each chabura? Perhaps it's easier to talk about the fourth question. Does it matter how many people in each chabura?
If there are less than three, or less than
Yeah, Ben, what would it be if less than 3 or less than 10?
Yeah, instead of
It depends. You're right. If I'm right, but if the Tosfot Anshei Shem is right, then you're wrong. What do I mean? If this Mishnah is talking about a definition of Ke'echad, they as one, then obviously Steve would be right. That if we're talking about Chaburot of 2 and 2, or Chaburah of 5 and 5, that their sum comes to unit of 3 or of 10, then if our Mishnah is defining what it means Ke'echad, then obviously it's going to be a Chovah to be Mitzteref if we have that number of people. But what if the Tosfot Anshei Shem is right? And it's not a definition of Ke'echad. It's going to hold a different can of worms. So what I'm trying to say is, let's divide it into the possibilities of qualitative tziruf and quantitative tziruf. By qualitative, I mean a type of tziruf that brings us to a new level, a level of 3 or a level of 10. And when I say quantitative tziruf, I mean that it doesn't bring us to a new level of 3 or of 10, it just brings us to a larger group. So I'm just going to flesh out the different possibilities here. That if we're talking about chaburot of 2 people each, then tziruf would create a zimun of 3, or if we're talking about chaburot of 5 each, then tziruf would create a zimun of 10. That could be what we're talking about. On the other hand, it could be we're talking not about a qualitative situation like that, but rather a quantitative situation, and we're just talking about a bigger group. It could be a group of 3 and a group of 3, mitzdarfim or not mitzdarfim. And then we'll ask ourselves the question of reshut and chova, depending on our understanding, is this a definition of echad, or is it not? And according to the Tosfot Anshei Shem, even if there is a tziruf here on a qualitative level, it's still only reshut. Right? Even if it's going to bring us 2 to 2 to 4, or 5 to 5 to 10, it's still only reshut. Because they didn't eat ke'echad. Whereas, according to my way of learning it, we're talking about a definition of echad here, then if we're going from 2 and 2 is 4, or 5 and 5 is 10, then it will obviously be chova. But if we're going just on a quantitative level, from 3 to 3 is 6, or 10 and 10 is 20, then even though we might read it like me, that it's a definition of ke'echad, it's only reshut. Because the previous Mishnah said that shisha nechlakim. If shisha nechlakim, then 3 and 3 don't have to be mitzvareif, although they can. There's a lot of things going on here, right?
I think of it in this sort of from the other end. I would say if it's required.
If it's chava.
I would say the number of people in each group makes no difference. Just makes no difference. It's required, then I have to add them together. I have to add the number together, and then I apply the rules of Dalit. I'm allowed to split up or I'm not.
Wait a second.
What I meant was, if I've got 3 and 3,
yeah,
and I can see each other, and it's a required to combine them, now I've got a group of 6, I can be together or not.
But you just contradicted yourself. You just said it's required to come together, but I can separate.
Just in this, in other words, it says it's a group, it's a single group. But Dalit said, if I've got a single group of 6, that doesn't Dalit say. If I've got a single group of 6, if I've got, isn't that right, Rabbi? Am I remembering wrong? If I've got a single group of 6, I'm allowed to split up.
Right.
So I'm saying, okay, I've got a single group of 6. I acknowledge that, but I'm free to split up.
You know what? I
have to apply Dalit still.
I think I could agree with you, but do it in a more straightforward fashion. Let's say, I think I'm going to say the same thing as you, but I'm going to say it in a straighter fashion. Let's say that what we have here in this Mishnah is a definition of Ke'echad. It's not like the Tosfot Anshei Shem, it's within the same framework of the chapter. And then when it says Mitzdarfim, it simply means that it's as if they ate Ke'echad. Then we have to apply the rules of Ke'echad as we know it from a previous Mishnah, it might turn out to be Chovah, might turn out to be Reshut, depending on how many people are there. That's what you're saying, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So,
but it makes no, whether you apply it or not, but you didn't have to ask how many people are at each table.
Right, exactly. I didn't have to ask.
That's what I meant when I said it makes no difference how many people are at each table.
Right. So I agree with David. That's a very possible way of reading it. Let's just say it again.
But that's only if you take it from the Tosfot.
No, against the Tosfot Anshei Shem. David's way is against the Tosfot Anshei Shem.
Saying that it's all Echad.
Right, so now we're saying, let's summarize this one possible way of reading the Mishnah, which is a plausible, straightforward way of reading it, and it's not the Tosfot Anshei Shem. Our Mishnah is simply defining for us what it means to eat as one. And it's telling us that if Ru'im, if they see Elu et Elu, it's as if they ate as one. And they're mitzvahim in the sense they ate as one. But what do you do with that? That you have to go back to previous Mishnah and see. And the answer would be, what do you do with that? Well, if it's a group of three and a group of three, Nechlakim, previous Mishnah. So they can eat, do it together, but they can separate. But if it's a group of two and two, or five and five, then it would be Chovah, because that's what previous Mishnah will tell us. Yeah, I agree. That is the most straightforward way of reading it if we go against the Tosfot Anshei Shem. If we go for the Tosfot Anshei Shem, then it's also pretty easy. It's all Reshut.
They're not completely wrong, the Anshei Shem.
Well, two possibilities.
Because the Kayechot means to eat together.
And this
means they interpreted a table, one table. They decided to eat together. Mm-hmm. Not and in one room that cannot does not necessarily mean together. You see,
fine,
in one big
fine.
Room.
That's also fine. And then it's by definition Reshut all the time.
Together, by one table.
So then just understand,
according
to the Tosfot Anshei Shem, if there's three and three, or five and five, it's still only Reshut. It's still only Reshut. Even though their Siruf would create a better quantitative level, but it's still only Reshut, according to the Tosfot Anshei. Okay, right, that's a very good way to summarize the two possibilities, I think. Great. Very good. We're going to question 7. We can go to question 8. No, we just did question 8. I'm sorry. We can go to question 9, which means we're going to the second half of the Mishnah. What is the full or real meaning of the phrase "Ein mivarchin al hayayin"?
Means what bracha do they make on the? It's not if they make a bracha, but which one?
Okay, so David could be right. It could be we assume the bracha on yayin is Rei Pri Hagafen, and when it says "Ein mivarchin al hayayin," it means we don't mivarech the bracha of yayin on yayin ad shiten l'tocho mayim. But it could be that David is wrong. It could be that it really means Ein Mevrachim Alayin. You don't say any bracha. And what basis would there be to say no bracha for a glass of wine if I didn't put water into it?
It's not drinkable.
It's not drinkable. And where did we learn?
We had a Mishnah that said if something's offensive in some way. I forget how
right,
I phrased it.
Right. If it's min kala, remember like grasshoppers or fruit that's unripe, according to one opinion, not both opinions, but one opinion in the Mishnah, you don't say bracha at all. Another opinion was that you say shahakol, even over fruit, if they're not ripe. So we actually have now three possibilities. It might be that we say no bracha over the yayin. It might be we say shahakol, or it might be the Hachamim's opinion is mivarhim. We say brei pri hagafen. So those two possibilities are on the table. So,
can I say, Art Scroll says you say ha'eitz.
Oh, right. I have to mention that also. Because we go back to the first Mishnah of Perek Shishi, we saw there that on grapes you say eitz, right? Unless you make wine of them, that you say brei pri hagafen. And we discussed the fact that wine gets a separate bracha because it's an especially important category of food. And what would come out of that is, if you made from grapes, well, let's say oranges, a liquid that wasn't a special category of food, it would still be ha'etz. And indeed, the halacha is that on orange juice, at least with a little bit of pulp in it, so you can see that it comes from oranges, the bracha has break pre ha'etz. It has pulp in it. And these days, they say five different levels of oranges with pulp, a little pulp, a lot of everything. Anyway, each one has to have a whole hakira, which, what do you say? But anyway, so the basic halacha that has pulp in it, you say ha'etz. So that would mean if we had yayin, but it didn't reach the category of yayin as a separate drink, then it would still stay as eitz. That's true. So we have here that possibility that this wine is grapes that's not wine, so it's eitz. So you can make actually an analysis here. If you say this wine hasn't become wine, but it's still drinkable, but it's not wine, then it'd be eitz. But if there's something offensive in it that's really bad, then it would go to the machloket, whether you say no bracha or do you say shahakol. Right, so that's the question. And then Brooke showed us in his book today. So let me backtrack about the book. It says ad shiten latocho mayim. So everyone who learns Gemara knows that in the days of the Gemara they didn't drink straight wine. They drank it with either two or three parts water. And the commentators say that they did that because the wine was very merukaz, was very concentrated, had to add water to it. So Brooke pointed out the converse. It's not that you have to add, perhaps, water to the wine, you have to add wine to the water. That is, why are we doing this combination? To make the wine less strong or to make the water more drinkable?
And not more drinkable, but drinkable at all. Make it potable, yeah.
The claim of the book that he just showed me was that the wine destroyed the bacteria in the water to make it drinkable. But I have to add that the language in the sources is always to put the water in the wine, not the wine in the water. What does it say? It says, "Ein revachim al yayin ad shitein l'tocho mayim," until you put the wine. Put the water in the wine. It sounds like the wine is the main thing. The water is just to dilute it. Whereas your way of looking at it, the language should have been the opposite. You can't drink the water until you put the wine in it. Perhaps that's not a proof. Say it again? The focus is always on the wine.
The passage in this book is really was talking about the permission?
Savari.
Savari. And that the derivation of that was clearing with the host or with the leaders that what we're about to drink is okay and not poison. You know, is it okay? And the response would be, may it be for health, l'chaim.
Right.
So that's where the savri and l'chaim comes from. And then you go forward with the blessing and drinking.
But that could be read my way or the book's way. I'm taking the wine. Is this wine drinkable, or is it so concentrated that I'll die from it?
Well, the discussion of the blessings
makes
it difficult to understand I'm using it to make the water better. Because I'm
right.
The wine's perfectly drinkable, so why could I not make a blessing over it? I mean, it doesn't quite fit that problem. It could well be they also use it to make the water drinkable.
Right.
It's not to disagree with the
water point, way.
But the text we're reading
is
about the wine. It has to be, because it's about what kind of blessing do you make on it.
Right. Actually, there's another part there that does say that wine that's been left out overnight has to be thrown away.
Yeah.
And it can't even be used for like the part of the wine that you had maybe, you know...
Yeah, that's because the book didn't say it. That's because, as far as I remember, most of the commentators were afraid that a snake got into it and put some poison into it at night. In my house, there's no snakes. There's only cockroaches. Okay.
This is Texas.
I hope that that statement doesn't come back to haunt me and I'll find a snake tonight. Okay, very good. So, going on our questions.
Depends on if your wine cellar's been flooded or...
So, question... we dealt with everything here. Let's just look at question 13. In what formalistic or structural sense is the ending of this chapter similar to the ending of the previous chapter?
There's a dispute at the end of both.
That's true, but it's common to have disputes in almost every Mishnah.
So the last mishnah of each chapter starts with something about benching, and it ends with something about blessing of food. Some sort of the blessing before, after food, and then there's an unrelated thing about blessing the food.
Right. Unrelated. It seemed at the end of the last chapter, just like it seems at the end of this chapter, that something is just tacked on at the end without any connection, and some Mifrashim make an effort to understand what's the connection. In our case, it's easy to reconcile why this matter that seems to be tacked on is really there. Someone said it to me in Charuta, why would we think at the end of our Mishnah to have this discussion about wine after we're already talking about Birkat HaMazon?
So maybe it's a situation where you say Birkat HaMazon over a cup of wine?
Right, that's a possible answer. I'm not saying certainly it's correct, but it's very possible that this is here because wine is related to Birkat HaMazon. You often say Birkat HaMazon al Hayayin. Could be. Or it could be that it's just tacked on like the end of the previous chapter. Okay.
I would have to disagree with that because
which
nowhere
one?
In the rest of this whole Mishnah does the subject of Yayin come up, I think.
You said nowhere does the subject of Yayin come up.
Yeah.
Well, we did have the Mishnah we talked about of the Bracha al Hayayin.
True, but in this one spot it just doesn't come up here at all in the subject of your Kafam Azon and boom, there at the end.
Look, we have a problem. We have here a line at the end of a chapter that doesn't seem to make any sense. We can either say it doesn't make any sense, period, or we can say we'll try and make some sense of it. And we're trying to make some sense of it. I'm not saying that Lahatchila would have liked it to be like this, but being that it's here,
trying to anchor it.
We're trying. We could be, could not. Okay, let's look at some Gemara. We'll see what we have time for. We are now, well, I'll just show you that this matter we just discussed of the Yayin, why is it at the end of our chapter? So doing there, the Tosfot Anshe Shem discusses this. And we'll just read on in my second bracket there, where the Dibur Matchil is Ein Mivarchin. Right? Ein Mivarchin. And he says there, Tzadi Ayin, which means Sarich Yun, requires study. Ma Shayach Machloket Ze Kan. What is Shayach? What is it related, this Machloket, this argument, here? And I'll go on to my next bracket. I'm skipping a few words in the bracket that I just read. Next bracket. Lechach nun lamid. Therefore, nun lamid nire li. Therefore, it appears to me. Dehach plukta. That this argument, he's switching here to Aramaic. He called it a machloket. Now he's calling it a plukta. The first is Hebrew, the second is Aramaic. Dehach plukta le'inyan koshel. It appears to me that this argument is the inyan, is the matter of kos, the glass shell of Bet Heimem, which is
Bet Mikdash?
Birkat HaMazon. Birkat HaMazon, right? So his answer is, just like Amiram, that it just might be that this matter of the Yayin is at the end of the chapter because it's talking about the Yayin of Birkat HaMazon. Not to say that it doesn't also apply to glasses of a Yayin in general, but it's relevant here because we very often drink the Yayin for the kos of Birkat HaMazon. Okay? So let's go on now. I really want to show you how this matter gets complicated. We're going back now to the Shtei Chaburot, to Birkat HaMazon, with its Tziruf, to the Zimun, and there's some very interesting things here. Going to the next page. Next page. We're going to see a short snippet of Gemara on our Mishnah, right where the Aleph is. This is the edition of Rabbi Dean Steinsaltz of the Gemara. And he says, Shtei Chaburot, when our Mishnah says Shtei Chaburot, so what do you say about that? The Gemara says, Tana, which means we learned in a Braita, Im yeshamash b'nehem shamash mitzarfan. If there is a waiter among them, in other words, there are two different Chaburot, Babayit Echad, we learned, and we learned in the Mishnah that if they see this one and this one, there's Tziruf. Says the Braita, I'll give you a second possibility to create Tziruf, even if they don't see each other. But if there's Shamash Echad Beinehem, if there's one waiter for the both different groups, then Shamash Mitzarfan, the waiter connects them. And that's the Halakha. Don't have to see each other. If there's one waiter for two different tables, in Bayit Echad, but they can't see each other, which means they're in two different rooms, and there's a door between them, they can't see each other. But if there's one way to going back and forth, then there is Tziruf. Let's look at the next page before we come back to this one. The next page is a passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi. Until now we just read the Bavli, now it's the Talmud Yerushalmi. So on the next page, you see I wrote at the top, Talmud Yerushalmi, and this is the Talmud Yerushalmi on our Mishnah. So you can see that where I began the bracket, it's our Mishnah, Shtei Chavarot, right? Shtei Chavarot. Shtei Chavarot. And now look what the Gemara begins, four lines down from that first bracket. It says in boldface type Gimel Mem, right, Gemara. Do you have the place there, Michael? Good. So it says, Rabbi Yonah the Rabbi Abba, Bar Zimna, B'Shem Rabbi Zera. So you have three different rabbis here. It was Rabbi Yonah and Rabbi Abba, the son of Zimna, who said in the name of Rabbi Zeira, they said the following, Lishnei batim nitzracha. Amazing statement. Our Mishnah says, Bayit Echad, right? That's what it says. Everyone knows that. Whereas they say, Lishnei batim nitzracha. For two houses it's necessary. Which means they're saying that our halacha applies to two houses as well as it applies to one house. And when they say nitzracha, it's necessary to add, it's as if they're saying that in one house, well then it's obvious, didn't need the Mishnah to tell me that if they're in one house, there's tziruf if they see each other. I guess he holds that the house itself is mitzaref. The house itself brings them together. But if they're in two houses, then we needed the Mishnah to come and tell us that the halacha is true. So this is really going on a limb. The Mishnah says one house, they said applies even to two houses. And then it says, Al Fresh, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Behein Shenichnasu Mishaar Rishona Almanat Kain. And that is, if they entered from the first hour, in order so. In other words, for that purpose. The Halach of Tziruf applies only if they meant to consider themselves as one from the very first hour that they began eating. So we heard these two halachot. The first halacha in the Yerushalmi is that the tziruf applies not just in one house, but in two houses. The second halacha we just read is that the tziruf applies only if they meant to be mitzarfin from the very hour they began eating. Hear those two things? And now we come to a classic logical issue. When you add one after the other, these two conditions like this, you always have to add the following question. What's the connection between the two conditions? Do they go together or are they separate? What I mean to say, I have to say it clearly because I didn't say it clearly. When Rabbi Yochanan said the halacha of tziruf applies only if they ate with the intention of being mitzrafim, did he mean to say that vis-a-vis two houses? Or did he mean to say it even vis-a-vis one house? Did Rabbi Yochanan speak concerning Rabbi Yonah? Or did he speak concerning the Mishnah? And the answer to the question is, it's not clear. Rabbi Yochanan could be simply limiting the addition of Rabbi Yonah. When it's in two houses, it's only when they intended it together. But it could also be that Rabbi Yochanan said what he said independent of Rabbi Yonah. He said concerning the Mishnah, there's no tziruf, even in one house, even if they ruin zetzeh, unless they meant to be mitzaref, which would solve the problem of the cafeteria. Right? When you eat, like say in this hall, at the barbecue we had last week, well then we meant to eat separately. But when we had the luncheon yesterday, we meant to eat together. So even if the tziruf is chova, we might say it depends on the kavanah, depends on the intention. And only becomes chova when they meant to eat together. So all these are issues a halakha is going to have to deal with. So, we can go back now to the first page and see what Tosfot says. We'll just read the very beginning of the Tosfot that I have in brackets there. It's this, the second page. Not Tosfot on Sheshem. When we say Tosfot, we mean the Tosfot on the Gemara. If I meant Tosfot an Sheshem on the Mishnah, I would say Tosfot an Sheshem. So it's the second page. I just have the something in brackets here in the Tosfot. And I just brought here Shamash Mitzarfan Lezimun, right? That's what the bright to sit in the Bavli, and says the Tosfot, Vahu Adin Bishnei Batim. It applies it well in two houses. Tosfot is taking them out of two houses from the Yushalmi, and he's applying it to the case of the Shamash from the Bavli. So now let me put this all on the table for you. We have three different factors that have been added in to the Mishnah in the Talmudim. Two from the Yushalmi, one from the Bavli. The Mishnah said that the Siruf, when they see each other in one house. Says the Yushalmi, it could even be two houses. Says the Bavli, you don't need to see each other, you can have a Shamash, who's Mitzarfan. And then, says the Yushalmi, this only applies when they intend to eat together. And you ask yourselves, when is this intention necessary? Does it apply only in two houses, or also in one house? Does it apply to the Shamash? The Bavli says that the Shamash Mitzarfan, but is that only if they meant to eat together, or is it even without that? We have so many different questions on the table, so I thought I'd bring the Shulchan Aruch. We see how the Shulchan Aruch brings all these factors together. Of course, we're skipping hundreds upon hundreds of years of all different wranglings and grapplings of the Rishonim and the Achronim, but not the Achronim. The Shulchan Aruch was the first Acharon. He's on the border between Rishonim and Achronim. Let's see the way the Shulchan Aruch brings all these things together. The fact of Shamash, the fact of Shnei Batim, and the factor of Kavanah. So the last page of the handout is the Shulchan Aruch. And you can see this is Siman Kuf Sadi Hei, in the part of the Shulchan Aruch called Orach Chaim, dealing with matters of daily life. And we begin from the very beginning, from Aleph. Not the headline. The headline just tells what we're talking about. Aleph. Right where my finger is. Right, Aleph. Shtei chaburot she'ochlot bevayit echad o b'shnei batim, that they ate in one house or two. So the Shulchan Aruch adds in the insight of the Yerushalmi that Tosfot himself brought. Im miktzatan ro'in elu ad elu mitzarfin lezimun v'im lav eina mitzarfin. One more page, right over here. So what happened is that the Shulchan Aruch is basically quoting our Mishnah word for word with the addition of Shnei Batim, two houses, adding the Yerushalmi. And this whole matter of if they see each other or don't see each other, it applies as well in two houses as in one. And then the Shulchan Aruch adds in the middle of the second line, Vim yesh shamash echad lishtehen hu mitzarfan. And he says that if there's a shamash there, that is mitzarfan. So what we have here is the addition of the shamash from the Bavli, lakula. In other words, makes it even easier litzareif. And we have the matter of shnei batim from the Yushalmi, which again is makes it easier litzareif. So all that here is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So the halacha would seem to be, whether it's one house or two, if they can see each other, or if there's a shamash, then that is mitzareif otam. And we only have to ask ourselves, what happened to the matter of the kavanah? Of the kavanah? Do you need kavanah? Not the Shulchan Aruch does not seem to mention it. So let's just look in the Mishnah Berurah. With that, we'll end. Let me see. Let's read the Mishnah Berurah Bet. The Mishnah wrote Bet, do you see where I am? Boldface type the Bet, and he says, what does it mean, mitzarfot lizimun? Rutzelomart means to say, im yirtzu, if they want. Yecholin litzaref. If they want, it's not chova. We have to ask ourselves, did he mean that it's not chova, even if it's two and two, it would bring them to a higher level? Or if it's five and five? And since he doesn't limit it, it would seem it's even then. It would seem that he's holding like a Tosfot Anshei Shem, that it's reshut no matter what. That it's not a definition of eat as one. It's a new level. I like the Tosfot Anshei Shem. And that's, of course, where the Tosfot Anshei Shem got it. This must be the more or less the consensus of many of the commentators, that it's not like I said, but it's really like the Tosfot Anshei Shem said, it's not ke'echad. Okay, let's go on. Okay. Vav. Mistimata mechaber mashma. From the fact that the mechaber, the author, didn't explain himself further, mashma, it sounds like tefilu bayit echad, ruim elu etzeh, ruim zeh etzeh, even if it's one house, and even if they see each other, gam kein lo mitzarfei shtei chaverot yachad, they don't become two chaverot together, ele im kein shniknasu mitchila al dat zeh, except if they came together for this purpose. Where did he get that from? Where did the Mechaber mention intention? I'm looking. Oh, right. I just forgot to read it. It's in the Mechaber there on the third line. I'm sorry. Kagon shenichnasu mitchila al dat litzterech. That is to say, if they came together with the intention of tziruf. So points out the Mishnah Berurah that it seems from the author of the Shulchan Aruch that this matter of intention is necessary in all the different circumstances. Whether it's waiter, whether it's seeing each other, even if it's just one house, you need the intention. And it will end with the next words of the Mishnah Berurah, Aval. So again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it appears that you need intention for any tziruf of this type. But says the Mishnah Berurah, Aval harbe yachonim katvu, but many yachonim wrote, "Debavayit echad lo bayin kal sheyikansu tchila al datze." That if it's in one house, you don't require at all. That's the word bay, bao, bayinan. You don't require at all that they come together at the beginning for this purpose. Uvechol shoin zetze. As long as they see each other, ze bilchud. That alone, or filu bayin roin zetze im yeshamash. Or if they don't see each other, as long as there's a shamash, sagi le'inyan siruf. It's enough for the matter of siruf. So let's end now. Let's just summarize. We said, according to the harbe achonim, the many opinions at the end here, if you have bayit echad, one house, then if they see each other, or if there's shamash, there's siruf, and siruf means rashut, not chovah. And if it's two houses, the shamash, or the seeing each other, gives them tziruf only if they entered for that purpose of doing it together. In any case, it's all reshut, according to the halacha. That's it. Okay?
Thank you very much.